May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.
Howdy, howdy. This is the Cosmic Cowboy with Cosmic Love for Saturday, December 14th, 2024. Thanks for tuning in. Since I'm broadcasting live on the internet to about 63 nations worldwide, I think that's what the internet goes to as far as English-speaking peoples. I never know who's listening. So if you're new to the show, I'll be narrating from three newsletters I've published since my last show 2 weeks ago. And this live show is available as the podcast replay, usually within a day or two. And if you're listening to the podcast now, as in the future, these newsletters are listed in the footnotes. So you can click on their links while I'm discussing them, and you can pause the podcast to see those, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, you can pause it to see those videos and articles that interest you. So you can create your own customized multimedia show. And in that regard, today I'll be discussing three newsletters, one on back on December 4th, Naomi Wolf on the Power Shift and the Hero's Journey. And on the December 9th, I did the Conscious Evolution Towards Unity Conscience. Consciousness of how we are conscious and more conscience, easier and faster. That's the second one I'll get into. But first, actually, I'm going to get into the one I just published today. There's a full moon tonight, and this one's going to be on the Christ Mass Catalyst for Great Enlightenment. So the whole thing of Christmas, Christ Mass, you know, the word source, Christmas, Christ Mass, and the catalyst is how light is the alchemical key, is the catalyst for great enlightenment. So more light and love, easier and faster. I'm going to go into that first, but before I do, it's time for a cosmic weather report. Yep, there's a lot of drama on the world stage. We're ending a huge cycles, culminating in new old cycles and beginning new cycles. We're ending a 6,500-year period of human relationships that were based on dominance, power, and control, you know, top-down, highly centralized, command and control civilizations, institutions, and we're entering into, we're not there yet, folks, this is this whole new Aquarian dispensation and a new relationship paradigm based on equality, equanimity, and cooperation. You know, win-win rather than win-lose. We're not there yet. We're getting there. There are some organizations that are non-profit into totally oriented to service. They got to pay the bills too, of course. They got to keep the lights on. I do too. I'm the same way. I'm basically a non-profit. excuse me. Anyway, more recently, we're closing the 2,000-year Piscean Age, and leaving behind the old dregs of blind faith and fear-based behavior as we enter a more enlightened Aquarian Age. And right now, as the show airs today, global humanity is experiencing some very powerful quantum field energies with the full moon in Gemini tonight, which brings mental fire to the collective consciousness for the next 2 weeks until the new moon. But we have this cycles, you know, from new moon to full moon. We've had the new moon was in Sagittarius, full moon now in Gemini. And there's these cycles of that 2 weeks and another 2 weeks from full moon back to new moon again. And this full moon energy in Gemini, it's peaking tonight, this energy of the full moon, which is like, there's a mental fire there because the moon is in Gemini, but the sun is in Sagittarius, And the moon is reflecting that Sagittarius mental fire. It's, Sagittarius is one of the fire signs. And it's more having to do with mental fire. So if you're really into becoming conscious of how you are conscious, and this is, and you really are into the concept of meditation as mediation with your higher self, with your soul contract, your divine plan, you know, basically tuning into, you know, like pattern recognition, what has been your, you know, definite major purpose in this life, your soul contract, however you want to put it, and, you know, how you can ideally fulfill it, you know, the flow of Christic energy of any, you know, of anyone through any system, actually organize that system. So we're coming into Christmas season, you know, and this concept of Christ mass consciousness as a catalyst, not just at Christmas, all year round. 2025, we really need, you know, with what's coming down, you know, in 2025, what's being set up now with this new, whole new Trump team, you know, what's going on with basically reinventing our government institutions and government, and supposedly, you know, in the name of draining the swamp, or basically the judgment of systemic corruption in our social, political, and economic institutions. You know, it's coming to a head. I mean, it's like we're almost facing like a near-death experience for civilization with the war, disease, you know, death and hell on the planet we've seen the last couple of years. And it's kind of peaking right now. And I mean, I think it had to get this bad before people wake up to, you know, that the only real solution at this point is going to be a spiritual solution whereby we are one, and a win-win rather than a win-lose, because when we are one, you know, we've won. You know, and you know what, peace on earth, you know, which is the pure intention that, you know, focuses attention with love retention for, you know, our conscious ascension and higher fifth dimensions of full comprehension, you know, without reprehension. Anyway, that's my cosmic wrap for today. I wanted to go into a little bit of the astrology, psychology, what's going on in the quantum field right now. I'm really big on quantum everything. Understanding of the unified field of, you know, conscientious common sense, which is uncommon, and, you know, how we can, again, involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. So I'm going to go into this Christ Mass Catalyst for Great Enlightenment, you know, the piece I published earlier today, a few hours ago, actually. I usually get kind of a buzz on when I send this out to publish this to my list of, you know, about 4,000 people now on Substack. And as people are reading it, you know, I usually get kind of a buzz on it. And I can go back and tune into the copy that I've published and see where people are reacting with my either spelling, syntax, or concepts that I need to smooth out. And usually after I publish for 2 or 3 days, I'm going back and editing the content. So before I put it to bed into the archives, I have something that I will, you know, be confident that when my grandchildren look at this, maybe 20 years from now, 10 years from now, they'll go, oh, Pappy, Grandpappy Cricky was a far-out dude, you know, and really kind of get it that, you know, I wasn't just blowing into the wind, so to speak. I was really trying to anchor or step down, basically cogitate, you know, what's going on in the world and the trendings, where things are going, to get the big picture of, you know, what we can do in the meantime, you know, to create a world of, you know, more light and love, easier and faster. You know, that's my motto and I'm sticking to it. So I began this article, The Christ Mass Catalyst for Great Enlightenment, by referencing that, you know, there's several new videos that, and they're short, most of them are short videos, for bringing light to dark places, you know, basically general enlightenment, you know, on core issues that if we don't know better, we can't do better. And there's things that can blindside civilization, just like there's blind spots an individual have can have whereby they're blindsided and they get into situations where they really don't know what to do because they have not basically prepared their conscience for whatever they're facing. You know, as an old Eagle Scout, my motto, be prepared, is served me well. You know, basically, you can't do better until you know better. So what I'm saying at the beginning of this piece is that as we reflect on all that's gone down this last year, and as we wonder what lies ahead, keep in mind that how we look at things will shape the reality of what happens. So there's one of my favorite quotes from Neil Donald Walsh, who is the founder of that movement called, some of you will know, Neil Diamond Walsh. I don't know why he's not coming to me right now. But anyway, he's famous for his writings on basically the new paradigm and of spirituality and how to look at it. He's one of those people that are definitely enlightened himself. And this quote is that there he says that quantum physics tells us that nothing that is observed is unaffected by the observer. Now, that statement from science, quantum science, holds, this is Donald Walsh, or Neil Diamond Walsh speaking. He says that statement from science holds an enormous and powerful insight. It means that everyone sees a different truth because everyone is creating what they see. In other words, everyone's 100% right for their prevailing awareness. Everyone's doing the best they can. You know, we don't wake up in the morning and say, I look forward to failing today. You know, everyone's trying to create their own reality in a way that, you know, is inspiring, uplifting, healing. There's a lot of craziness in the world. You don't want to tune into that as much as the good. You know, see the good and make it so. Keep the faith, see the good. So, I mean, if we view our lives through the lens of win lose, pleasure pain, loss gain, fame or shame, then we engage in judgment about ourselves and others as further polarizes our relationships, rather than the win win whereby we're one and we've won. So, you know, there's a way to look at everything in terms of individual and collective consciousness of how we are conscious, you know, a win-win rather than the win-lose of, you know, that falls into judgment that polarizes relationships. So now this is kind of in reference to my previous article, which was on unity conscience. And I provide a link on that in the story narrative that I'm reading from that I published today. And you can, some of you know how to pull up the archive page, you know, at HeartCom Network. You know, heartcom.org/heartcomnetwork.htm. And HeartCom Network does have to have a capital H and a capital N on HeartCom Network for that link to work now. Some of you have that link, know how to do that, and can be reading along the narrative that I published today. So what I go on to say is that we can, you know, on the other hand, you know, we can review our life events. You know, do a life review, you know, as just an experience. You know, this has been an experience in the cosmic scheme of things. You know, an entire lifetime is just a flash in the pan. But if you think of, you know, we're great spiritual beings having a 3D human experience, you know, that this is like a cosmic coinkadinky, you know, in time and space. And if we can step out of objectively and do a kind of a life review and just see how this has been a whole process for self-realization, you know, experiencing, you know, a self-identity, individualized, you know, and basically one way of looking at this, we're all individualizing the I am presence, the singular presence, the singularity presence of, you know, one earth, one God, you know, one universe, you know, common to all people, you know, it's just that we all interpret it, we see it different ways. And, you know, what my expression has been over the years, we tend to get what we ask for, what we look for, whether we know it or like it or not. It's basically cosmic law. I mean, action, reaction, stimulus, response, and we're all going to reap what we sow. And, look to see, know to be, the nature of spiritual geometry. You know, God is geometrically ordered divinity, geometry of divinity. And God is love. So you have the love model, which is cosmic love, show is evolved out of an experience I had of cosmic consciousness, 53 years ago, where I saw my future and I had this vision of cosmic love that I wasn't real clear at the time, but over 50 years, it's materialized into this model of love that has pure geometry thought forms with the law of the 1, 2 and 1, 3 and 1, 4 and 1, 5 and 1, the L-O-V-E, with geometric circle, triangle, square thought forms. So in the beginning, God geometrized. That's ancient Hermetic philosophy. In the beginning, God geometrized. And in the end, we become what we geometrize. In other words, if you think we are great human, great spiritual beings having a human experience, you know, we're in 3D. We're basically, we're precipitating, manifesting, or geometrizing God consciousness, G-O-D in terms of geometrically ordered divinity. In other words, first principles of cosmic law of the universe, of God, spells G-O-D with geometrically ordered divinity. And, this understanding of this thought form of pure geometry with the L-O and the V, and of course the E is a cross-referencing of the triangle and the circle, and, the four, you might say, archetypal Jung dimensions of the holy whole. Now, we're talking about universal archetypes, fire, air, water, and earth. You have the Tibetan sand paintings, the mystical Christian symbolism of the city four square, the New Jerusalem, the white cube, the pyramid, of self and civilization on the four sides of the pyramid, all coming up to the capstone, which is the whole point, where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, whereby we are one. So the victory vision, the vision of virtue and valor for the victory on the four sides of the pyramid of self and civilization. That's what, I talk about a lot in on my radio shows, because this is the process of civilization coming into unity and diversity, which was on the Great Seal of the United States, the Great Seal of the United States, E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. E pluribus and Adam and Eve. So many, unity in diversity is a concept which now is being applied on a planetary scale with the instant everywhere interactive internet. We're all connected. In principle, we've got this global internet whereby the family of man, is connected in a global village, and like your neighbor now is in an instant everywhere sense is, can be halfway around the planet because we're connected. So, to love with all your heart, mind, soul, and being, and your netizen neighbor as thyself, So upgrading these ancient principles of virtue, with an understanding of universal archetypes, and universal principles and processes for involving and evolving our individual and collective consciousness with a capital C, conscience, Christ consciousness, Christ mass consciousness for what? The path of conscientious ascension, Christ mass intention for conscientious ascension. I mean, instead of just one time of the year, the idea of an ongoing process, this will be the Aquarian age of light and love, general enlightenment and a higher concept of love that involves the language of light and consciousness itself. So this language of light, the full spectrum enlightenment, the color spectrum as relates to the spectrum of consciousness. So instead of having spectral autism, which humans tend to do, they tend to be just on one part of the spectrum or another. Full spectrum enlightenment, Christ mass conscience, is a full spectrum thing. And of course, the idea of how we can involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness so we can have a global evolution, revolution, revelations in higher consciousness. I mean, doesn't get any better than that, folks. I mean, that's what will the Great Enlightenment. That's the Great Enlightenment that matures from the Great Awakening, which's been going on. People are waking up, and a lot of people are waking up to how bad things are, and they get stuck there rather than you move on to how good things can be with the vision of virtue and the valor for the victory of Golden Age models of wholeness and healing. You know, government, education, healthcare, the economy, what the Golden Age models look like, you know, how that works. So the first video I have in this article, a newsletter compendium that I published today, is called The Christmas Initiation, A Catalyst for Mass Awakening. Now, it's kind of corny. I mean, when I say corny, you know, it's a video, and it's got this little Christmas Santa jumping around on a picture of Jesus inside a Santa Claus suit. And so it's kind of, you know, a little dance of Santa for your inner child, a little humor there. But some of the words, some of the concept of a Christ Mass initiation, you know, on the threshold of a Golden Age and Golden Age consciousness, and these concepts of a deeper meaning of Christmas, you know, beyond the gifts, the tree, and the carols, you know, there lies a profound spiritual message, like a portal, a call to awakening to the Christ consciousness. So in this video, we explore, you know, how Christmas in deeper symbolism is a divine blueprint designed to initiate Aquarian, you know, a Christ-like mass awakening. So the Great Awakening brings a Christic light that naturally neutralizes great darkness. And as Aquarian light and cosmic love surges, disease and disintegration purges. More light and love naturally neutralizes, you know, the dark side of the force, so to speak. 3D perversity. So, then I'm moving on now and getting into some of the different videos of the last couple of weeks that really kind of expose, you know, the dark side. You know, again, there's no healing civilization until we come out of denial what's sick, you know, what's wrong and why. So, this first article and videos is I reference as Purging the Power Elite Power Grabs, you know, exposing the suppression of free energy and what it is that the power elite are up to basically ensnare us in another, you know, like another giant hoax, like the COVID safe and effective vaccines BS belief system. So understanding, you know, the global carbon tax cap and trade BS belief system is what this is about. And this Alex Newman does a brilliant video. It's really, really intelligent. I highly recommend it. And watching a rom-com, you know, on Netflix or whatever sometime this week, that there's someone, you know, you watch at least the first 5-10 minutes of this to get an understanding of what the UN is planning, how they're planning to fundamentally restructure the global economy. Now, the way to nip this in the bud is to expose it. And for enough people to expose it and care enough to share it with enough people that people just say, no, this is crazy. You know, we're not going to allow this. Just stop it. You know, they're going to go ahead as if, you know, nobody cares. And if nobody cares, you know, that this is the way they push things through. When I say they, I'm talking about the, you know, we call it the deep state, the United Nations crowd, which is really the global power elite crowd that really want to own and control the human and physical resources of the planet, and they're trying to do it with this carbon market BS belief system. And, you know, the United Nations, they want to introduce this carbon market in addition to limiting your travel, your meat consumption, and, you know, you'll own nothing and be happy, so to speak. That's their agenda. So the American people, you know, have to just kind of, you know, snap out of it, you know, wise up and say, you know, enough is enough. So there's another article related to this that kind of humorous, but it really takes the inanity or the insanity of this whole carbon market thing. And it's called, the article is called Bankers Plot Ways to Get Paid Carbon Credits for Emissions They Might Have Emitted But Didn't. And that sounds crazy. That's basically what's going on here with what what industry gets paid for what they could have done but didn't. The carbon market is the perfect scam quasi-tax currency for banker overloads. Now, this may sound like just so much word salad, but basically, if you read the article, you get the gist of this is another giant psychological operation with taking something that doesn't make any sense and putting it in our face and a giant scam, quasi-tax currency for our banker overloads, you know, for just the taxes. Anyway, that's enough said on that. This is a subject I've avoided because it is just so nuts. It doesn't make any sense in a one sense to where I don't even want to deal with it. But this explains it because it's going to be coming up more. You're going to be hearing a lot more about it. And what you get in the mainstream media is all the disinformation side of it. Like we heard when they came out with this whole thing of the global reset and, you know, we're going to go own nothing and be happy. I mean, that's just crazy talk. But they're still at it. I guess they're doing this with like a 2x4 upside the head until people wake up, you know. So this is Alex Newman saying that this carbon market is a really serious thing that we need to pay attention to. So beyond that, the big story this last week, the last 2 weeks, since my last show, the big story is Syria has been virtually destroyed by U.S.-Israeli proxies. That's right. And there's a brief history of the war on Syria by way of the Corbett report. James Corbett's brilliant. And the brief history of the war on Syria, highly recommend it. It's not that long. What is it? Maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But it explains that the foreign-backed terrorist insurgency in Syria has finally accomplished the globalists' objective, regime change in Syria. But how did we get here? Who was behind this decades-long plan for reshaping the Middle East? And what does it mean for the world? Now, that's a nice way to saying that Syria no longer exists. Greater Israel, you know, is expanding. And Paul Craig Roberts has a brilliant article on this. Greater Israel is on the move, and Syria no longer exists. They're not only Israel, but the United States is just bombing the hell out of what's left of Syria. As far as critical resources, they're taking over the country. When I say they, the Israelis are, and the U.S. is backing them. So this header of this section, that Syria is destroyed by U.S. and Israel proxies. It's not, you know, these so to speak terrorists that were financed by the CIA that went in and basically, you know, just took over Syria. I mean, they're financed by the U.S. and have been, and they came out of ISIS. So many of you may be already familiar with this, but again, this is new stuff that's come out the last couple of weeks. There's several articles here on this. One was brilliant by newrockwell.com. The neocons and Zionists finally get their regime change in Syria. That's the headline. Goes on to say that followed the Assad regime, the last secular Arab regime. In other words, it was Christians, it was Muslims. There's all kinds of religions that were living there, and they were living more or less peacefully until the civil war has stepped up with those, you know, trying to destabilize and take over the Assad regime, demonizing them with Western media, so that most people in America, all the news they get in the mainstream media is that Assad was evil, demonic, whatever. That's propaganda, folks. The real story is that he has tried to hold together a multicultural state. And yes, it has been used by Iran and, to support Lebanon. And a lot of stuff has gone on there that is really kind of nefarious because, for survival, the different things they've got into for survival. When, in fact, you know, the Christian values that he tried to hold together the country with has been on such serious attack. It's like Russia. People like hate Putin when he's overseeing a Christian Orthodox revival in Russia. Well, not that there was a Christian Orthodox revival in Syria, but there has been a secular, you know, multi-religious state there that was it was the last regime. And of course, they've been targeted by the deep state. Was it Rand Clark? What was the guy that reported on they're going to take out seven Mideast nations? Some of you are probably familiar with that story. But they've been on the target of the deep state for decades. Syria has. So they've taken them out, and U.S. has launched a third proxy war, this time in Syria. This is an article by Chuck Baldwin, just came out 2 days ago. And what Chuck Baldwin's saying is the invasion was organized and implemented by the governments of five countries, the United States, Great Britain, Israel, Turkey, and Ukraine. Many of the ground forces that participated in the invasion of southern Syria, including Damascus, were Ukrainians. Ukraine also supplied the drones used in the invasion. Of course, Ukraine's been financed by hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars in aid, which goes into creating these drones, which have been then sent down to destabilize and destroy and invade Syria. So, death of a nation, massacres going on, land grabs as vultures feed on the carcass of Syria. This is an article by Pepe Escobar at LouRockwell.com. And the question is, will the collective West rise to defend the remaining Syrian Christians when the Black Flags come to purge them? Black Flags are some of the terrorist organizations. And they're just massacring people. So anyway, that's horrible stuff that's going on. Again, and if the Christians don't wise up and rise up, that there's this Antichrist stuff going on, who's behind it? Who would be behind it in the United States and in Israel? For the ongoing genocide of people other than Israelis in the Middle East. When I say this, it's very complex and yet very simple. Basically, the hate and hate creation it will only be stopped by love and love creation. You don't stop hate with hate. I'm not saying turn the other cheek, but there's got to be more light and love, easier and faster somehow. Neutralize the insanity, the profanity of, so to speak, spiritual people, committing genocide of Palestinians. I mean, it's like, what does it take? How do you get people to wise up? Otherwise, we're part of the problem rather than part of the solution. So here's the being part of the solution, and not just in Syria, but in this next category I'm getting into is the plandemic that's being planned for this, coming soon. Another more mass pharmacide with vaccines that are, so to speak, safe and effective. I know you can't make this stuff up. It's happening in the news. There's a great article here from of the Health Ranger report with Mike Adams interviewing Dr. Lee Merritt on the coming stage plandemic and the total fraud of virology and the PCR positive. The PCR test, the bogus PCR test that they used to do the COVID PSYOP, was these bogus PCR tests that had all the false positives. And you got to watch this for 5 to 10 minutes. It's just basically it's so crazy and it's so so in our face, exposing the big lie, that a lot of people just would rather believe the lie and just get on with their lies. Unfortunately, of course, the expression in the scripture is, what was it? They believed the lie and their damnation was just, or something like that. But the concept is, if you want to expose the big lie and the whole truth, then you have a clear choice. And this is what I try to do in my compendiums, in my newsletters, how good things can be, how bad things are, and make the choice clear where more people will basically choose what's good, Keep the faith, see the good, and make it so. So anyway, I'm getting to the last part of this article, which is dealing with artificial intelligence. As far as a Christ mass catalyst, for waking up to big issues that are really critical, this is a 5-minute video by Mark Andreessen. And Mark Andreessen, he pioneered the internet with Netscape Navigator. Basically, that's how the computer the network became the computer of the computer became the network of computers. That concept of how, the personal computer created a revolution, the computer became like an extension of the mind, like the television is an extension of the eyes and the ears. Well, with Netscape, developed by Mark Andreessen, the computer became the network of computers. so that the network of computers worldwide became the basically your computer could be part of that network, net for navigating the internet. Anyway, this Marc Andreessen is a brilliant guy. Of course, he became a billionaire out of this, but he's smart like Elon Musk in a different way. But he explains the danger of what's going on with artificial intelligence and censorship and political control through artificial intelligence. He explains how AI is being integrated as the control layer in everything and how everything works, social, political, and economic institutions in the future. So if the artificial intelligence is woke or biased or is censored, then and this is in many regards where it's going. And if that happens, we'll be in a hyper Orwellian China style social credit nightmare. And the way this happens is because AI is being trained to lie. It can be trained to do anything. It can be trained to culture a higher concept of universal cosmic love for involving and evolving our individual and collective unity consciousness, unified field consciousness, which would create heaven, peace, love, culture on Earth. And do you ever hear about that? How AI could be used for that? I've been talking around it and about it, you know, for years, going back 50 years ago when I was talking about real intelligence without even the artificial kind could be used to involve and evolve our individual and collective social conscience in our social media networks, because our social media networks are our communities don't have to be a physical local community. It can be, but they can also be online communities of like-minded people locally or globally. You know, the new communities and community building is an online process. So this is another video I'm providing by way of Marc Andreessen. You can watch the shorter video, or there's a longer one from when he was interviewed on the Joe Rogan Show here on November 26th, you know, a couple weeks ago. And it's got 2.6 million views already. That's how brilliant this Marc Andreessen is, how well-known, of course, Joe Rogan is, and brought a lot of brilliant stuff. I mean, if you can take a time, I mean, there's like a 2 or 3 hour interview with Joe Rogan, and there's some real gems in there, including I think the short excerpt was which is the 5 minute video by our Marc Andreessen is an excerpt I think from the longer one. So anyway, there's another video then on the artificial intelligence world, and the cashless society by way of the Reese Report. That's a 5 minute video. And then I go into, to finish up, that article newsletter on Christ Mass Catalyst, Christ Mass Initiation. I go into, you know, the bottom line, you know, back to the overview, the spiritual overview, you know, fire up the spirit that matters. And that's a link on a show that's done once a month called Spirit Matters by David Christopher Lewis. And it's called, you know, so I reference it, Fire Up the Spirit That Matters. You can go and check that out. Spirit Matters, the spirit that matters, bringing light to dark places. David gets into all kinds of metaphysical dimensions as well as other real world scenarios. So anyway, this is basically summing it up. This is a great time of the year for a fire ceremony where you write down, you know, on a piece of paper what you want to let go and move on to. So putting these records of the past and the future to the flame. How you want to let go of the past and what kind of future you want to bring into your reality. This can be, you know, you put it to the flame and address it to the heart of God, the mind of God, you know, the universe, the karmic board, whatever. You can, you know, put them to the flame with the pure intention that focuses the attention with all your love's retention and for conscientious ascension in the higher dimensions of full spectrum comprehension, you know, bless and release, send it to God. Dear God, take me out of this entire situation. I shall not be moved. And enlightened spirit matters. So basically, you know, this is a great way to sum up the year. You know, call it a fire ceremony. Call it, you know, basically a sacred centering and connecting the ceremony. You can have this by this with yourself or with a group of people doing the same thing, where you prepare your letters beforehand and come together and burn your letters. Basically, it's like, you know, just get on top of things, fly high, soar with the eagles. And remember, it's not your aptitude, but your attitude that determines your altitude. You know, the whole spirit of I am, I can, I will, done deal. That determines your altitude. You know, whether we soar with eagles on thermals of grace or scratch with the turkeys on bugs of begrudge. So, again, here's to it. We all do it. Birds do it in the sky. Dogs do it and stick to it. Why not you and I? That's an old hillbilly taught me that when I worked with him. So, keep the faith, see the good, make it so. That sums up the article I published today. It's kind of my keynote summary of the last 2 weeks, Christ's Mass Catalyst for Great Enlightenment. What I did publish about two weeks ago, well, back on December 4th, 10 days ago, was an article by Naomi Wolf on the power shift and the hero's journey. I'm going to go into that now. Naomi Wolf, she has a Substack article. And this article was published on the 28th, November 28th. And I provide links to that. She's a heroic figure, Naomi Wolf. I mean, she did this publication, this great book called The Pfizer Papers, you know, Pfizer's Crimes Against Humanity, on that giant psyop, which we call COVID now, you know, that the whole COVID epoch, you know. She makes her heroic stature in this article even more evident than it was in the book. And before, I mean, she's a truth teller par excellence. And she said 2020, 2024 felt as if the maws of hell had cracked open. You know, in other words, last 4 years, the maws of hell had cracked open. This whole COVID fiasco was like, you know, insanity on steroids. And basically what she said, we're coming out of it. You know, things are optimistic with Trump being elected. There's at least some hope that we beat the darkness back with God's help, she said. You know, I like that quote. We beat the darkness back with God's help. This 2020 to 2024, last 4 years. So anyway, I'm going into this, an excerpt from her recent Substack article. And I'm skipping to, you know, you can skip to the latter prescient points in this for brevity. But this is basically, she's talking about the archetypal power shift with the hero's journey. There's a power shift in civilization. There's a power shift going on politically, economically. And you got to understand that Dr. Naomi Wolf was one of those lifelong Democrats, you know, like RFK Jr., who defected from the ranks when corruption of the DNC became intolerable. And what she did to restore integrity to the election process deserves recognition. Again, she's an amazing lady. She's, you know, the Aquarian, the divine feminine principle personified in many regards. So frequent readers know that I often write about global power shift, you know, God archetypes, geometrically ordered divinity, you know, and the hero's journey. So I'm truly grateful for what Naomi Wolf has to say in a very intelligent way that empowers general enlightenment. So this is from her Substack, the second half, where she says, quote, President Trump, of course, has any number of human flaws, but my classical and biblical education has made it impossible for me to look at recent events without seeing a manifestation of deep archetypes. We are all at this moment, it seems, both ordinary mortals or ordinary mortals and also participants, whether we become this or not, in great archetypal battles. Whether we welcome this or not, you know, in other words, this process of manifestation of deep archetypes in great archetypal battles. So this is what the classical hero's journey is about. What author and teacher Joseph Campbell, in his classic analysis of mythologies, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, saw as the central mythological narrative arc and what brought President Trump to power again. And indeed, what brought all of us to this very moment. With President Trump in power again, he has another opportunity. You know, he was, so to speak, down for the count. He's come back, you know, in the hero's journey. And metaphorically, you know, the quote, again, go back to quoting Naomi Klein, she goes, the mythological hero setting forth from his common day hut or castle is lured, carried away, or else voluntarily proceeds to the threshold of adventure. There he encounters a shadow presence that guards the passage, the dweller on the threshold, whatever you want to call it. So this is the kind of the hero's journey in classical archetypal sense. Not necessarily President Trump, but, you know, there are some parallels there. She goes on to say, the hero may defeat or conciliate this power, this presence on the threshold, and go alive into the kingdom of the dark, you know, metaphoric brother battle, brother dragon battle, offering charm, whatever, or be slain by the opponent and descend into death. Dismemberment, crucifixion, you know, the dark night of the soul. So beyond the threshold then, this is Naomi going on with the quote, beyond the threshold then, the hero journeys through a world of unfamiliar yet strangely intimate forces, some of which severely threaten him or her, you know, with tests, some of which give magical aid, you know, like helpers. And when he or her, you know, arrives at the nadir of the mythological round, he undergoes a supreme ordeal and gains his reward that intrinsically is an expansion of consciousness and therewith of being, illumination, transfiguration, freedom. All these, you know, exquisite metaphors for more light and love, easier and faster. So at the return threshold, the transcendental powers must remain behind. The hero reemerges from the kingdom of dread, you know, return, the resurrection, and the boon that he brings restores the world. It's like an elixir. This is from The Hero with a Thousand Faces. This is the story of the hero's journey. So I feel as if that narrative arc, you know, somewhat describes the past 4 years. We were all brought into the nadir of darkness. We were all forced to look at evil intimately, to feel it in and around us intimately. Man, there was a lot of dark stuff the last 4 years, folks, you know. So did we align with it or did we succumb to it? Did we resist it in a battle almost to the death? Well, folks, I lost about 6,000 subscribers for exposing the unthinkable deception and the unspeakable evil and just the unbelievable stuff that was good. People didn't want to believe it. They just say, take me off your list. And, you know, I'd built up my subscriber list over the last 16 years to about, you know, 10,000 people, lost 6,000 of them the last 4 years. So did we resist it, you know, the darkness? Well, I did. I challenged it. And almost to the death, well, I lost. You know, it's like 6,000 subscribers kind of died on me, you know, and they're gone. But anyway, we were all severely tested. Some of us made it back to the everyday world with new blessings, and others did not, and are now being pursued in various ways by the fates, or by what may be called karma, or nemesis, or dark side of the force, whatever. Even recent political history seems to have an archetypal or mythological dimension. I mean, think about it. Did President Trump survive at least 2 assassination attempts and no doubt others of which we have not heard by his own agency alone? And did he impossibly turn his head from a sniper's bullet at a critical moment by chance alone? Remember, according to merely human planning, President Trump was supposed to be dead by now. But the fates, of course, or karma, or nemesis, or divine intervention had other plans. Did a conspiracy among one set of DNC insiders to unseat President Biden fall apart in messy Shakespearean infighting? Did one legal case after another against President Trump collapse? Are these cases still weirdly collapsing? Did the Democratic presidential candidate say to Christian students who shouted such things as Christ is King, quote, oh, you guys are at the wrong rally? No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street. I mean, did Kamala Harris actually say that? I mean, as a former political consultant for the DNC, this is Naomi Klein speaking, she said, I can tell you that that response from a candidate, you know, Kamala Harris, that response from a candidate is so very wrong, so bad, so dumb that it borders on a metaphysical manifestation. or I would say of self-sabotage. So, you know, I'm going into all this because we're looking at, you know, amazing parallels to the story of, you know, of classic ancient and modern stories of redemption after, you know, so to speak, failure. And so anyway, she goes on to say, say a lot more about this metaphor, and some of it's a little involved. It requires reading. She goes on to say that Steve Bannon came back to wield his platform like a weapon and to warn the agents of chaos who had trusted in their own human powers about coming retribution. Most importantly of all, did American citizens themselves rise up to do their duty by their country at last? Did they finally show their collective agency, Bannon's favorite word? Now, she goes into an example of this, is how people stepped up during the elections to challenge, you know, fraudulence. And she was very involved nationwide in helping poll watchers identify where fraudulence was going on, and goes on to explain that. So anyway, after this, there's a humor break, which is, you know, pretty funny, a short video, just a few minutes. And I'm going to have to go on to this last article, Conscious Evolution Towards Unity Consciousness, because I'm running out of time. Only got a few minutes, but I wanted to finish on this note of oneness, atonement, you know, conscious evolutions toward unity consciousness, and an objective perspective on corrective transformation. Now, this newsletter compendium had a lot of different components to it that were articles in themselves on truth-telling in the disinformation age, and again, more on the artificial intelligence danger. There was an article included here on organizing all information in formation. You know, like the more information you have, the greater is the need to get it all in order. So how we do that, how that can be done with real intelligence opportunity, not artificial. If artificial intelligence isn't harnessed with real intelligence, folks, we're in trouble. So that is the challenge, the initiation of 2025. I'll be going into that all year long, you know, how to harness real intelligence, more Christic light and love, Christ mass, not just initiation, but heart coherence, mind congruence, ongoing Christic co-measurement with the purpose and plan that the hosts of heaven know and serve. And folks, there are hosts of heaven. They are stepping through the veil to lay the foundation for the Aquarian Age. Some of my best stuff, I can truly say it's not from me. It's above my pay grade. I'm not sure where it comes from exactly, but I am grateful for any inspiration, enlightenment, intuition that serves the purpose of, you know, global enlightenment. I'm sure you feel the same way. I mean, you know, what more is there than more light and love, easier and faster? What's the purpose? What's your cosmic purpose? What's your soul contract? You know, what really, you know, makes you feel inspired, spiritual, that you're congruent with your highest and best purpose that you can serve? So anyway, there's another article that in this Unity Evolution Process Compendium, there's a third article that you can read, and which includes videos and news. Current news, and then and this is regard to the quantum future that we all want, modeling the quantum future we all want, you know, with the golden age, crystal diamond golden age, what it will look like with quantum education, quantum healthcare, quantum governmental systems, quantum financial system. A lot of people really want to know where we're going with all this. And I've been working on this modeling of Aquarian Golden Age models, and again, how to organize all information in formation with real intelligence that involves and evolves and otherwise empowers wisdom of the crowd, sometimes called wisdom of the cloud. You know, the cloud as far as collective consciousness. And what that looks like in terms of an interactive interface that represents an individual's consciousness in a way that, with the language of light, can represent the collective light, the collective consciousness in any social network community. So this process of culturing quantum conscience, you might say, collective quantum, you know, energetics of consciousness, the language of light, enlightened consciousness, that process will, for involving and evolving our individual and collective conscience, as in Christ conscience, like C squared, V equals MC squared, as you approach the speed of light and become conscious of how you're conscious, all time and space becomes relative. And the future that we all want, as far as a unified field, a unity and diversity, how that works to maintain individuality, you know, each one's cosmic ID, and yet fulfill collective social conscience, unity and diversity with peace on earth and the future that we all want. So that's kind of my keynote for the whole year, the 2024 Quantum Quickening Series. That's the grand finale, the quantum oneness. So happy holidays, folks. I want to thank you for listening to the show today. I mean, it's like, hopefully you've heard something that sparks your conscience and awakens your part in the global revolution in higher consciousness that's accelerating throughout the 2020. So keep the faith, see the good, make it so, dance like no one is watching, love like you've never been hurt, be the change that you want to see. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Bye for now.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.